Yo, what's up? It's Tuesday morning, and we are ready to rock and roll here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. The theme of today's show is Buy Low Hitters, a theme inspired by a column written by our own Chris Towers. Chris, you are my muse. Thank you very much.
Anything I can do to make your job easier, Adam, that's what I'm here for.
Congratulations, Chris.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's Heath Cummings, Chris Towers. Your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. So we're going to do this. First half of the show basically will be yesterday's stuff. Talk about Dallas Keuchel and Gerrit Cole. Kobe Rasmus has been cold. Adam Wainwright. There was some good stuff, too, not just the bad stuff. So we'll talk about all that. And then we'll spend the second half of the show talking about buy-low candidates, just the hitters mostly, and your emails, again, at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Love the emails. Keep them coming. Grade the Trade is usually on Wednesday. I'll try to sneak a few emails about that today in today's show. Today's one of those mornings, guys, where, you know, everything's pretty normal. I'm feeling good, but I have, maybe this has happened to you before, I have the song Eternal Flame by the Bangles stuck in my head, and I can't get it out.
I can't say I know that one.
I sang what? Just the Two of Us to you earlier.
You did.
And I've got that stuck in my head now.
It's amazing how easy.
Why was I singing Just the Two of Us?
Because Chris wasn't there yet.
Oh, okay.
You set me up for that one. You set me up to call out Chris for being tardy again.
Look, I just want to say, I'm pretty sure each of the last two Tuesdays before this, I wasn't the latest one.
Right.
So I just want that because it sounds like to the listeners, oh, Chris Towers is always late. So undependable. Chris Towers is just, that's not how this works.
Was I the latest one?
The latest one, but you're the only one that's actually been late.
Oh, I see.
30 okay. seconds late.
I was late one of them. All right. Anyway, you don't know the song Eternal Flame by the Bangles?
It's possible, but I can't think of it right now.
It's too early for me to sing it, or I would. I actually saw the Bangles.
I think you do have to sing it. Yeah, How else am I going to know what song you're talking about?
I can't right now. I got to get my voice warmed up. But I saw the Bangles after a Marlins game, one of those free Saturday night concerts they played. And I
was at that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I know you from.
Exactly.
Hey, we have new logos for the podcast. Hope you're enjoying them. I think they're freaking awesome. So they're cool. Let's do the notes. J.J. Hardy's going to be out at least 6 weeks with a fractured foot. You know what that means. Manny Machado. Is he their everyday shortstop? Do we know?
They did definitely say that he will play shortstop pretty regularly. I don't know if that means he's going to play every day. I was reading that they weren't 100% sure about playing him every day at shortstop. I think Heyman reported that yesterday because Scope is relatively inexperienced at second base, and they didn't want to have two different people in the middle infield who are inexperienced. I'm not sure whether that makes sense, but that was what I read.
Well, the only reason why it's relevant, he's obviously going to get his fifth game at shortstop. Machado will be shortstop eligible, but he needs 20 games in CBS Sports formats to be eligible at shortstop next year. Considering Hardy's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, I will say Manny Machado is going to be shortstop eligible next year. Rejoice, people! Now, here's one that scares me a little bit. Ryan Braun is dealing with general soreness. Could be absolutely nothing, but personally, Ryan Braun is my most important fantasy player. He is on three of my six teams. I kind of want to, like, I buy Ryan Braun's production, but considering they're already trying to limit him to 140 games, I think I want to sell my Ryan Braun stock.
I think you should have done it yesterday before he had general soreness.
Well, I didn't know he was going to have general soreness.
General soreness is worse than colonel soreness.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worse than private soreness.
Well, it could be nothing. It could be absolutely nothing. But, thank you.
Chris has lost it. I've lost Chris.
Wow, I never heard Chris laugh like
that. Yeah, this if you want to hear more of this, you should tune in to the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, because this happens about once a week.
All right. Okay, continue. Well, what about, am I on the right, am I wrong here with my Ryan Braun concerns?
No, I agree that I'm, like, he could be really good, and he still maybe won't be elite just because he doesn't get to play enough.
The one thing I think, though, is Ryan Braun's is the general perception of Ryan Braun low enough at this point that he has more value to you than he would in a trade, even if he's going to miss this time?
Also, who would I trade him for? You know,
yeah, that's the thing, is that like Ryan Braun playing 130 games might be more productive than whoever you replace him with.
Maybe there's somebody on Chris's buy low list that you could trade him for.
Well, I was thinking, what if you trade Ryan Braun for Adam Jones and a good Michael Wacha level pitcher?
Yeah, that would be the type of move that I think you would have to do. You would have to get an outfielder who we think is pretty good but is struggling, and who could potentially be as good as Ryan Braun. I think Adam Jones could be.
Yeah, well, it's safer, but both safer in terms of games played, but not necessarily production. I mean, to be quite honest, if I trade Ryan Braun, I want a hitter who's doing better than Adam Jones. But
you should trade him for Michael Conforto.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I ran in several polls yesterday on who would you rather have rest of season, and the final one was Conforto or Justin Upton, and 57% of people selected Conforto.
Yeah, see, I think that's an overreaction.
Oh, yeah, it probably is.
Not that Conforto's bad, but Upton is, you know what he's going to be at the end of the year. Jason Hayward, another one that's a little concerning. He sat with a sore wrist that's been bothering him since the opening week of the season. Now, that's a big nugget right there. He hurt his wrist opening week of the season. It's been bothering him. I don't know if there's anything definitive, but I kind of feel like when guys have injuries that they can play through, it hobbles them for a little bit, and then they get over it, and they're fine. What do you guys think about Jason Hayward and this lingering wrist issue?
Lingering wrist issues are probably my second least favorite injuries, right behind core/oblique injuries. Those are my least favorite, but lingering wrist issues would be next, because it's not like guys go on the DL and then they come back and they're fine. They seem to always just play through them and play poorly.
Yeah, and it saps the strength in your wrist, which is an important part of hitting. That's always what we'll see, is that when guys suffer wrist injuries, it takes them a while for them to gain their power back. And that's been the biggest thing with Jason Hayward so far, is I think he has like an 0.46 ISO right now. I actually wrote about him yesterday in that buy low column, and this kind of gives me pause, because last season when he got off to a similarly slow start, he had a 6.11 OPS on May 2nd. But he was hitting for power. The bigger issue there was his walk rate was down, his batting average was down. This season he's walking, he's just not hitting for power at all.
So this wrist injury, this news of a lingering wrist injury for Jason Hayward, does this, you said it gives you pause, does this take Hayward off your buy low list? Are you guys not touching Jason Hayward?
I would still, if the price is low enough, and I do wonder, like, I wonder what the perception of Hayward is, because I feel like...
I think it's negative.
There are still people that are like... There are going to be people in like 2025 that are like, man, this is the year Jason Hayward puts it all together. Like, I think he's just that kind of guy. There are always going to be people that believe that. But I also think when you believe that going into a season and a player gets off to a slow start, you're going to overcorrect and underrate that player and undervalue them. So if someone's really low on Jason Hayward in their league, yeah, I think I could still buy low on him.
All right, and Devin Mesoraco, torn labrum in his shoulder. So Mesoraco, I had to drop him in a 16-team league. I mean, I wanted to DL him, but I don't even know if there's a point. Like, I didn't have enough DL spots, and he's been horrible. Devin Mesoraco right now has got to be – he wasn't a high draft pick. He's got to be one of the biggest busts. I mean, just awful. You got nothing from him, and if he's out for a while – what a terrible season for Mesoraco.
Yeah, I think he's definitely droppable. We're talking about a guy who had one good season. We were hoping he would get back to that, and it's just not there.
So let's do the worryometer here with three pitchers who pitched yesterday and three supposed studs. Dallas Keuchel has been anything but. He has a 5.11 ERA. He has 18 walks to 30 strikeouts in 37 innings pitched and gave up 5 runs in 4 1/3. Only 3 swinging strikes yesterday. However, with Keuchel, he actually has a career best swinging strike rate, 18.5%. What is your take on Keuchel? 0 to 10. We're not dropping these guys. So 10 would be, let's say, a sit for Dallas Keuchel. Where are you on the worryometer?
6.5. I did look at this yesterday on Brooks Baseball. And it was, first I saw it on Fangraphs. And so I went to double check it on Brooks. He, for some reason, is throwing his cutter a lot more than he ever has before. And his cutter is getting hammered.
Let's see. Actually, Eno Saris from Fangraphs was talking about that on Twitter last night, and he said that what it was batters. Dallas Keuchel's gotten away a lot with spotting pitches on the first pitch, getting ahead in the count with pitches on the corner, and he admitted that batters are going after his early pitches more often now, and that's why he's had to go with the cutter more to get more whiffs, but also it's leading to fewer sinkers and fewer ground balls.
I mean, my take on Dallas Keuchel's career is kind of confused anyway, because basically, I mean, we've got 3 years. The first year he was awful. The second year he was really good, but I could not figure out how he was doing it because his peripherals didn't make any sense. And then the third year he was an ace. So I have a hard time like put him in this classification with guys like Felix or guys that have been aces for several years in a row, because he really just has 1 year of ace peripherals and he has 2 years of ace production.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the same pitcher those 2 years. It's not like he repeated the same thing.
He's just not throwing strikes this year. I mean, he's getting a lot of swings.
Again, if batters are jumping on early strikes more often.
Yeah.
Actually, batters are swinging less right now. I had that.
Okay.
Yeah, batters are swinging less right now. And that's causing him to have to be more aggressive. He's a guy who has pretty good stuff, but he doesn't have... I don't think anybody would say he has ace stuff.
I would. I mean, he's not a fireballer, but he has different type of ace stuff.
Sure.
He's extremely hard to square up. He's hard to hit hard. He's supposed to get a ton of ground balls, but Keuchel's not getting a lot of ground balls, right? He's still getting a lot of ground balls, but it's not what, you know, 1.8, 1.6 ground ball to fly ball ratio last 3 years. Yeah. Now it's 1.24, you know, but still only one home run allowed.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'll just sum it up. Here are Heath's rankings as of right now. Number 10. We'll start with number 10 at starting pitcher. Jacob DeGrom, Jose Fernandez, Felix Hernandez, Dallas Keuchel, Matt Harvey, Garrett Cole, who we're about to talk about. So you have Keuchel 13th. Do you see yourself moving him up or down? Or, well, I guess it'd be down.
The problem is he's at 13th because mostly the guys behind him have been disappointing aces. There's not a lot of guys that have done that. If Harvey has a great start tonight and looks like he's better, then yes, Harvey would go in front of him.
Yeah, I think I'd probably move Harvey ahead of him.
But you still value Keuchel highly. If somebody should buy low on Dallas Keuchel,
I think if you can, like I said before, I don't know what the perception is with him.
Yeah,
because I feel like there's this perception that he's just been an ace. And he is an ace, and he'll be fine. And if that's the perception, you're not going to be able to buy low on him.
Okay. Let's go to Johnny Cueto. This could be a pretty easy one. He struggled. Yeah, he's had two bad starts this year, but mostly good. Cueto's got a 3.61 ERA. 0-10 on Johnny Cueto.
0-3.
Okay. Garrett Cole has a 3.95 ERA. And he gave up 5 runs in 4 2/3 with 4 walks against the Cubs. He usually pitches pretty well against the Cubs. So this was a surprise to me. And his first start of the season was pretty bad at Cincinnati for Garrett Cole. But remember, he had a late start in spring training, and then he was fine over his next 3. Anyway, what do you think about Garrett Cole? What's your worryometer on him? 0-10. 10's a sit.
2.
I'd say maybe a 4. The peripherals aren't quite as good right now, but I'm not super worried about him either.
So no change in value, still a top of the line, not quite elite ace, but next category sort of guy?
Yes. Yeah, I feel, and I don't know, when you read those rankings, I had Cole behind Keuchel.
Yeah.
2 spots. Mm-hmm. They're in a pretty similar spot for me. I probably actually think that there's a little bit more upside for Cole.
Okay, great. Who stood out to you? Anybody that we really want to talk about here at the top of the show from Monday's action?
I'm going to do a Scott White thing and just bring up the obscure name right off the bat.
Oh, great.
And it's Brett Nicholas.
Ah, yeah.
He hit a home run for the Rangers. And we were discussing this yesterday because when you look at our catcher rankings, we've got the Rangers catchers. Like, Al, I think, has a different Rangers catcher than I do ranked in the top 40. Scott has no Rangers catchers ranked in the top 40. I think I have two Rangers catchers ranked in the top 40. It's kind of a messy situation, but Nicklaus has actually played semi-regularly and been pretty good.
Do they have it? Don't they have a catcher on the DL right now?
They do. Robinson Chirinos, who right. has never really lived up to what they thought he was going to be, I don't think. He's been a disappointment. I just wonder in deeper two catcher leagues if Nicklaus is, I mean, I'm starting him in a couple of those, until Chirinos gets back for sure. I wonder if he's doing enough here recently to possibly stay on the roster once Chirinos comes back and play regularly.
It's a good call for the Mesoraco owner out there. It's slim pickings. I mean, I'm starting.
Yeah, I would
Carlos
say definitely
Solis.
For the Mesoraco owner, if you need somebody for the next couple of weeks, yeah. Nicklaus is a good place to go.
Gosh, I asked Scott and Al, and they disagreed with me vociferously, I think. I don't think I asked you guys. How do you feel about two catcher leagues? I think they're pathetic, and they should be banned forever.
Wow. Banned forever.
Yeah, they're the worst.
I will say I'm not going to say pathetic. Or banned forever, because I think people should have choices. But I would be very pleased if I didn't ever have to play in one again.
Okay, I will take your stance. That's more sensible than what I said.
Yes. I would, if I never had to play, like, there's not really very many good hitting catchers in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
I tell you what, when we find a way to start factoring in defensive performance and giving fantasy points for pitch framing and caught stealings, and not giving up wild pitches, then I'm all for two catcher leagues.
The nerds will have taken over officially at that point. Pitch framing is one of your 15 by 15 categories. Pitch framing.
Three of them are
defensive. Francisco Cervelli.
Yeah.
Chris, how do you feel about two catcher leagues?
I'm fine with them. I don't have a strong opinion either way.
You have really disappointed me today. You haven't heard Eternal Flame. You don't have a strong opinion on this very controversial hot button issue.
Adam, I feel like you've known me long enough not to have expectations. So it's your own fault for being disappointed.
I've known you since that day we both went to the Bengals concert.
Exactly.
After the Marlins game. Although I have a feeling you didn't stay.
No, I did.
Oh, and you still don't know Eternal
Monday.
Flame. Wow. Good for you. How about a standout from you, Chris?
Well, Brandon Crawford homered for the first time since April 8th. He was one of the guys that I was going to put on my all-by-low team. There were actually four shortstops that I was considering. He was one of them. I think he's pretty good. I'm not worried about the relatively slow start that he's on.
Yes, I was so happy about that, because somebody asked me yesterday late afternoon, do I start Crawford or Story this week?
There you go.
And I picked Crawford.
You did?
And then he hit the home run.
Wait a second. Really?
Go.
Why would you? Because Story's on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's playing in San Diego and in San Francisco.
I still think that's a mistake.
What's that?
I still think that's a mistake, but.
Well, Story's got some work to do to make
that
mistake.
Yeah, he does. He is the number one shortstop in
fantasy. I also want to point out that, remember when Mike Trout wasn't hitting?
Yeah.
He's up to a 959 OPS.
Yeah, he is now I just looked this morning. He's the number 7 outfielder in points, the number 8 in roto, steadily climbing. And Bryce Harper, remember when Bryce Harper was hitting? He just snapped an 0 for 16 yesterday, but still number 1 outfielder in fantasy.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Something that stood out to me on Twitter yesterday that's not totally baseball related. I saw one of the funniest signs I've ever seen, and it actually wasn't even at a baseball stadium. It was like at a marathon in Cincinnati, and they were at mile marker 13, and somebody went to mile marker 13 and held up a sign that said 2 more miles to J.J. Hoover's ERA.
Like, that is dedication. Who cares?
That's
enough?
That's outstanding work.
Right? Who cares enough about J.J. Hoover's ERA? To make that sign. And as far as Monday standouts for me, we'll talk about everybody else. You know, AJ Griffin's kind of interesting. Gio Gonzalez is having a Jordan Zimmermann type awesome season. So we'll get to all of that. But let's bring up some surprising stats. And you tell me if they mean anything to you. Surprising stat number one, Manny Machado has 0 steals in 2 attempts after stealing 20 bases in 2015. Tomorrow he will become the number one shortstop in fantasy once he plays his 5th game there. He's the number 3 third baseman, but does that mean anything to you in a roto league or a categories league? Manny Machado, 0 steals so far in 2 attempts.
If I bought into Machado stealing a bunch of bases this year, then I think I would be at the point to where I feel like I probably need to make an addition to my roster for steals.
Yeah.
He wasn't somebody like when I drafted Manny Machado, I wasn't thinking, okay, I've got a leg up in steals.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, if you expected him to be a 20 stolen base guy, you probably were hoping for what, 3 steals at this point in the season? Maybe
yeah, 3 or 4. Yeah.
Just on on that pace. Like it's just,
right.
We're still at the point in the season where that's not that, like he could steal 2 bases tomorrow and be right back on the pace, you know?
Yeah. The only difference is he's not leading off this year. So yeah. I do wonder if that's, you know, a big reason why he's not running as much. So, and he's walking a ton, so I know he's been on first base, but okay, let's go to Elvis Andrews. Elvis Andrus has 0 steals in 3 attempts. Elvis Andrus needs to steal bases because I know he's hitting for a good average right now, but when that regresses, Elvis Andrus is the number 20 shortstop in points leagues, number 19 in Roto. This man needs to steal bases to be valuable. 0 steals in 3 attempts. How worried should Andrus owners be?
He's been standing on first base 23 different times, according to Baseball Reference. The fact that he has 3 steal attempts is really strange. Like, I just don't even know what to make of that.
And the fact that he has not succeeded in 1 of those 3 attempts is worrisome. Yeah, like, how many times during the season do you get to try to steal a base and get caught in a row before you lose your green light?
Not if you're Elvis Andrus. I think you've got a long.
I mean,
leash.
If he got caught 10 times in a row, he would.
Yeah, maybe.
Five?
I don't think so. I think he's got at least 7. I don't think it'll get to that point. I think he'll successfully steal before it gets to the point where he loses his leash. But yeah, I mean, what do you do if you're an Andrus owner? In a 1 shortstop points league, obviously he's exchangeable. But right. In a Roto league, you know, do you just kind of bite the bullet and hang on?
I mean, if it's a Roto league, then the obvious replacements probably aren't available. And there's so many guys that are like, I kind of view Alcides Escobar and Elvis Andrus, and I thought Gene Segura, but he's moved out of that class, as basically the same group of guys. And those guys are probably all owned anyway.
Yeah.
It's weird. His base running numbers are, I wonder if he's lost a step or if he's dealing with an injury, because he's also, when you look at the base running stats on Baseball Reference, he's only taken the extra base 33% of the time for his career. That's 60%. Last season was 69%. He's attempting a stolen base once every 11 times he has a base empty in front of him. In previous years, that was like once every 5 or 6. Hmm. So he's running a lot less often overall.
Okay.
I don't know what's up with that.
Pretty interesting for Andrus. But all right, would you go ahead and here's our next surprising stat. Jonathan VR, Milwaukee shortstop, tied for 2nd in baseball with 7 steals. And he is the number 11 shortstop in both points and Roto. Would you even consider dropping Elvis Andrus for Jonathan VR?
I don't really think I probably would. I mean, I think the problem is I wouldn't mind having VR on my bench and playing him in a week where maybe they're going to face a lot of lefties. I mean, he's hitting 2nd now a lot more because Scooter Jeanette's hurt. But when Scooter's back, he's not going to be hitting 2nd anymore. If they're facing some lefties at home, then I'd play him that week. But I'd want to have Andrus there to play most weeks.
Yeah,
I don't mind like riding the hot hand with that kind of roster spot, just because are you really going to miss Elvis Andrus?
It depends on how deep the league is. If Jonathan VR is the best shortstop on waivers wire, then Andrus is probably getting picked up as soon as you drop him.
I guess.
I could see myself sitting Andrus for VR, but not necessarily dropping.
Yes.
And also there's the Arcia, you know, situation for Milwaukee at shortstop, so that might limit the long-term value of VR. But 7 steals is 7 steals. And then finally, how about this for a worthless batting average? Martin Prado leads baseball with a .350 batting average. Or, sorry, .350. I was looking at something else. A .410 batting average. There you go. And he's the number 27 third baseman in points leagues and number 27 in Roto. Number 20 in Roto. I can't speak today.
Woo!
So that is some empty batting average for you from Martin Prado, who is batting .410, with no home runs, 9 RBIs.
What's his BABIP?
451.
Nice.
One up, one down from Monday's action. One up is Chris Davis, 67% owned. He is now hitting 308 with 5 home runs in his last 13 games with only 1 walk to 10 strikeouts. But hot hitter, I mention it all the time, and he hit 2 home runs yesterday. And one down is Colby Rasmus, who had this great walk to strikeout ratio, 16 walks, 17 strikeouts, 7 home runs until a week ago. And now Rasmus is 3 for his last 25 with 2 walks and 9 strikeouts. Who would you rather own? Chris Davis, who's 67% owned, or Colby Rasmus, who's 94% owned?
This week, I would rather own Chris Davis. Those two are peas in a pod. They're both going to have weeks. And that's, I don't really like playing that game. Like the hot hand thing, I know that it does exist and batters do get hot. I don't believe I'm a good enough prognosticator to guess when Colby Rasmus is going to hit 7 home runs in 2 weeks.
I don't believe you are either.
I don't believe you are. I don't believe any of us are.
I'm getting there. I'm almost.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I would probably, I mean, I'd take Davis right now.
Yeah. Rasmus, 94% owned. He feels more like a 60% owned type of player to you.
Oh, he struck out 4 times last night.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised at all if 10 days from now he's 60% owned.
Yeah, exactly. Rotation time. I got, let's see, 5 or 6 names here. Let's do 3 at a time. Top 3, Adam Wainwright, James Shields, Jason Hamill. None of them were particularly great or particularly bad yesterday. And they've had very different seasons.
I mean, I thought when you said surprising stats, you were going to go with Adam Wainwright only gave up 5 hits and 3 runs in 6 innings.
I mean, that is encouraging.
He did hit a home run.
He did. I think he drove in 3. He's not walking guys anymore. 1 walk in each of his last 4 starts. And as I wrote in the notes, a la Caddyshack. So he's got that going for him. But not much else for Adam Wainwright. And no more than 8 swinging strikes in any start this season. Adam Wainwright says he is close. Do you guys think Adam Wainwright is close
to being retired? I would say he is close to being retired within the next year and a half.
Is he close to figuring it out? His retirement plans.
Look, I didn't buy it, so I'm going to tilt negative towards him anyway. I didn't think he was worth drafting coming into the season. I had no exposure to Adam Wainwright in any of my leagues this year. I did not think the 3 relief appearances he made were a telling indicator of where he would be as a starter. So it's going to take a lot more than just a handful of quality starts for me to change my opinion on Adam Wainwright.
Who would you rather have rest of season, James Shields or Jason Hamill?
Shields.
That's a really tough one. Would it make sense to say Shields and points, Hamill and Roto? Because Hamill's just not going to give you the innings. Shields is probably going to throw 50 more innings than Jason Hamill.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, here's an encouraging sign.
I'd rather have Shields in either format.
Well, here's an encouraging sign with James Shields. He seems to have reverted back to his old form. Not that many home runs and not that many strikeouts. But he's given up 4 home runs this year, James Shields, but 3 of them have been at Coors Field. So, in 1 start. So that's encouraging. Last year he gave up a ton of home runs.
We knew that was going to regress, I think.
Yeah.
Braggart.
But the strikeouts have regressed too. Now, okay. I really like Hamill, but he doesn't pitch deep because Joe Maddon's got a great bullpen and he is not shy to pull his starting pitchers.
Well, especially him.
Yeah. Jose Berríos, 5 1/3, 3 hits, 2 runs, 5 walks, 8 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed at Houston. So that is now, let's see, 7 walks in 9 1/3 in 2 starts.
That's a lot.
And Gio Gonzalez had a good start. Who would you rather own, Gio Gonzalez or Jose Berríos?
Jose Berríos.
Chris?
You know, I find the Gio thing so interesting because I feel like the general perception is he's just kind of not good anymore. But he was 16th in FIP last season.
Yeah, whatever.
In baseball.
Yeah,
as
whatever.
As opposed to football.
Okay. So he had the best, 16th best FIP amongst starting pitchers that qualified for the ERA title.
And he's off to a pretty good start. I mean, I would rather have Berríos, but okay. I think we might underrate Gio.
It is interesting. His ERA rose three straight years. Last year, Gonzalez's ERA was 3.79, but he just doesn't give up home runs. And he had a 3.43 BABIP last year. So I do see the point that there was room for a much better season for Gonzalez.
Yeah.
But again, with him, just like Hamill, he does not pitch deep into games.
Yeah.
So and Berríos probably won't either.
What'd you say?
Berríos probably isn't going to pitch deep into games either.
Especially not if he keeps walking people.
Is he a walks guy? I mean, is this a concern for Berríos?
I don't think it was in the minors.
Which I don't. Like, I would put at this point more credence into what he did in the minors than what he did in two starts as far as control goes.
Sure.
He may be a little bit too fine. And that was a tough, I mean, that was a pretty tough matchup.
Is it?
Yes. I'm not buying into the fact that the Astros just suck now.
So here's the thing. I think the Astros are going to end up being a good team this year. They got to turn it around quickly. Last year, the Rangers had a pretty bad April and they won the division though. But I still look at timing is very important in baseball, and when you face a team is important. And the bottom line is that the Astros really aren't hitting right now. The Royals really aren't hitting right now. So it's not like I see a guy facing the Royals this week, and I don't think, oh, this is a really tough matchup. They're going to get better. But
see, I just think if I feel like they're going to get better, why wouldn't they get better tomorrow?
It seems more likely that the Royals struggle today than hit the crap out of the ball. Although they're facing Tanner Roark, and he's not a great pitcher. But yeah, who was that? Who
he's
did
not
I sit?
A great pitcher. That's factual.
Who did I sit this week because he was facing the Royals? Who do they face later this week? Do you remember?
No.
Nah, it was a solid pitcher. Oh, Danny Salazar, I think I sat. And it was, you know, kind of a shallower roster. I had a lot of good options. I respect the Royals enough to say that it's not a slam dunk matchup. But I don't think, it's not that bad of a matchup right now. They're not hitting.
It has not been that bad of a matchup this season. And I don't think that they are a great offense. I wouldn't sit Danny Salazar against them.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally sit him. I'm starting him in one league, I'm sitting him in another. Starting him in two leagues, sitting him in another. All right, FanDuel, did you know, people, over 1 million users have already won money on FanDuel. So what are you waiting for? Join those people, win money on FanDuel, play fantasy baseball, and win some money. How great is that? FanDuel.com is the best place to play your daily fantasy baseball. It's easy to use. You choose from any player in the league. You make a lineup every day. Contests start at just $1. If you don't want to play every day, take a day off. Doesn't matter. Play as much or as little as you want. You can play in tournaments with thousands of people, win a lot of money. You can go the safer route and play with fewer people where half the contest wins money. There's a contest for you on FanDuel. There's a contest for everyone. Special offer for new users. Been telling you about this. Please take advantage of it. Enter your first league when you sign up today. Either win a cash prize in that league or get a refund from FanDuel up to $10 for additional play. And to get that money, to get that refund or that possibility of a refund, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner on FanDuel.com and use our promo code HOMERUN. One word, HOMERUN, no spaces, and you get that awesome offer from FanDuel.com. Finishing up here with the fringy starting pitchers, Bartolo Colon, AJ Griffin, Brandon Finnegan, Nate Carnes, Kendall Graveman, Jimmy Nelson, John Gray. I just named like 8 pitchers. How many of them are more than just 2 start streaming options for you? Again, those names are Colon, Griffin, with his Bugs Bunny curveball. It's like he throws like a 65 mile per hour curveball. Brandon Finnegan, Nate Carnes, Kendall Graveman, Jimmy Nelson, John Gray.
Brandon Finnegan is more than just a 2-start pitcher because he's also a SPARP. So that makes him more.
It would be nice if he had a good start every now and then, though.
What's that?
It would be nice if he had a good start every now and then. Finnegan hasn't been very good.
Well, if he would have got the win, it would have been a good starter.
Nah.
And he had a 6-3 lead when he left.
And that's a thing. They have one of the worst. They have the worst bullpen in baseball.
That's true.
So he. Gonna-
I was glad he picked up a quality start for me in my quality start league.
Okay, quality starts forever.
I think Jimmy Nelson is more than a 2-start pitcher. I could start him in 1 start against a righty heavy team.
Yeah.
I could buy into the fact, and I need more evidence. It's only 5 starts now, but it's 5 pretty good starts. That John Gray is a pitcher that you keep on your bench and start when he's on the road? especially at San Diego.
And we're still
at San Diego and at San Francisco this week. That's a good opportunity.
Right. When he goes two bad offenses, yeah, I'm probably going to start him.
But that's still kind of a streaming guy.
Yeah.
What about Griffin? We still haven't gotten to Griffin. Nobody.
I'm not buying into him.
No.
Just too many fly balls, too many home runs. Last time he was healthy for a full season, he led baseball in home runs allowed.
Okay. Yeah, I was a little worried about the start, but it worked out.
He was $9,200 on DraftKings last night. I don't know what the hell they knew that the rest of us didn't, but good on them, man. That was a great call for them.
Well, the Blue Jays strike out a ton, and they're not hitting that well.
He killed me on FanDuel because I played a lot of Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So in the bullpen, I put off the buy lows for too long, and I apologize. We're almost there. Steve Cishek has 7 saves and a .75 ERA, 3 walks, 14 strikeouts in 12 innings. And Fernando Rodney, 4 walks and 9 1/3, which isn't a surprise, but also 9 strikeouts and no runs allowed. I have Steve Cishek and Fernando Rodney, who have combined for 12 saves, made you sort of reevaluate them and bump them up in your rankings, either on paper or mentally?
I updated all of my rankings yesterday except for relief pitchers. I'm going to update relief pitchers today. I'd say Cishek will get a small bump, because one of the reasons I had him as low as I did is I thought he was one of the more likely closers to lose his job. As good as he's been, it would take quite a bit for him to lose his job now, I believe. So I'm going to bump
Cishek.
Seashells
by the seashore.
Yeah. Yes. And Fernando Rodney?
Is Fernando Rodney.
Now, he had a .75 ERA with the Cubs last year in 12 innings. Oh, shut up.
Come on. Come on.
You know, have to bring these things up.
Goes through these stretches where he's not terrible.
You have to paint the whole picture, Heath. Okay?
I understand, but you could have just, he had a .75 ERA in 12 innings is not a thing that you have to say.
Well, it's just maybe that they found something. Look, Cishek had a very good stretch with the Cardinals. ERA was good, and he's carried into this year. So it's.
I believe more in Cishek than Rodney.
I do too.
Well, yes, more notes. Arizona GM Dave Stewart said that Shelby Miller is trying to live up to the price tag.
Does he think he's getting paid for runs allowed?
It's not even the price tag of paid. It's price tag of what they traded for him. Pablo Sandoval is out for the season, shoulder surgery. Travis Shaw, top 10 third baseman so far. Mac Williamson was called up by the Giants. Angel Pagan expected to miss 4 or 5 more games.
Is this Mac Williamson's first stint in the majors?
I thought he got called up earlier.
So this is the return of the Mac?
Yes. Well done. Joe Paddock sat, but he was available to pinch hit. Zach Cozart's sore knee is expected to bother him all season. Great news. Domingo Santana sat with shoulder tightness. Tommy Pham could begin a rehab assignment this week. Just make that outfield a little more crowded. Irvin Santana could return to the Minnesota rotation this weekend. Let's see what happens. I hope Tyler Duffy gets another good start in before then. Lance McCullers could begin a rehab assignment soon. Trevor Plouffe will return today. It says here that Eduardo Nunez should stay in the lineup. He should play some shortstop and stay in the lineup.
He should, as in the Mets should keep him in the lineup, or we think he will. You just like giving your opinion that he should stay in the lineup because he's one of the better hitters?
Should, in my opinion. He's hitting.
Yes, I believe that he should too.
Probably a crappy fielder, but. And Carlos Gomez has a good chance of avoiding the DL. And Carlos Gomez was on Chris Towers' buy low list, so let's talk about that. But it was more of like a...
It was just kind of, if the price is really low,
yeah,
kind of thing with him.
And it probably will, because we've gotten a lot of questions, do I drop Carlos Gomez?
Yeah.
So you can get him for pennies on the dollar and get a dime's worth of production out of Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, he might only be worth pennies.
Yeah.
But like he's one of the situations, and there's a couple other guys on the list where it's just the upside's worth gambling on because the price is likely to be so low.
All right, so who are some of the ones that you want to talk about, you want to highlight here?
Well, you might have missed your chance to buy low on Joey Votto last night. This seems to keep happening, as there seems to be a couple guys that we've talked about as hey, like a couple of weeks ago it was Andrew McCutchen, like, hey, should buy low on Andrew McCutchen, and then he hit 2 home runs like the next day. So that's the big thing to take away, is if you identify a player that you think is a buy low candidate, you shouldn't wait to put that offer in for them. You should do it immediately because Joey Votto is going to get hot at some point. He's too great of a hitter not to. The other ones, like Anthony Rendon, I think is a pretty controversial player at this point. I think there are going to be people with a lot of opinions on him. I'm looking at the comments of the article now, and someone's saying that they wouldn't trust Rendon one bit. He'd be off my team in a heartbeat. If that's how that guy, if D-Ray 16 is in your league, I want to make an offer for Anthony Rendon because I still think Anthony Rendon's good. I know he only has the one good season and that's a concern. There's a bit of that, but this was a top prospect. This was a guy who, it's not like he was Devin Mesoraco who had his one good season at like 26. This was a guy who was young. We projected to develop further. I just think he's definitely someone that I want to buy low on.
Okay, and I like that because, you know, as I go through these buy low candidates, and McCutcheon's a good example. After the two-homer game at Coors Field, he didn't really do much. Or it was a three-homer game, right?
It was a three-homer game.
Yeah, he didn't really do much. And so I thought it could still be a buy low candidate. And I looked, all right, who in the Memorial Magazine League has Andrew McCutcheon? And that's Chris Towers. I know you're not giving up on him. The wise fantasy owner isn't giving up on him. Maybe Joey Votto. But there are
Joey Votto, you do have to take into account how players are perceived. And I think there is a perception of someone like Joey Votto that's different from his actual production.
Yeah, and it's different from Andrew McCutcheon's perception.
Yeah.
So I think that's Votto's a good one. Rendon is a less obvious one, and it's a less easy one. It's less guaranteed to work for you, but I like that because if you play with savvy guys, even savvy fantasy owners might be ready to give up on Anthony Rendon, so you make a play for him.
I would like to buy low on him, but I seem to own him everywhere. It's part of my great start to the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, with Anthony Rendon, you look at it, his hard hit average was down last season. It's up to 37.8% this year, which is really good. If he could sustain that for a full season, that's what he did in 2014. I think it's actually his batted ball data is identical pretty much to 2014.
Yep.
And despite a high hard hit average, he's yet to homer on 29 fly balls.
And he's actually hitting more, I think, because I wrote, Rendon was one of the guys in this article that I wrote about last week that we didn't designate a segment of the podcast to. But anyway, and I think his line drive rate's actually up to 25%. It was 20%. In 2004, I didn't compare it to last year because it was such a small sample size. I compared it to his 2014 season, and he's exactly the same hitter, just like Kyle Seager. It's hilarious how similar his numbers look to his numbers over the last 3 years, and he's just been terribly unlucky. Yeah. And again, like Joey Votto, it might be a little late to buy low on Seager because he's started to heat up the last few days.
The overall numbers are still low enough that somebody might be willing to Cal Seager's another one of those guys that I think the perception never matches up with the reality of how good he is. Like, I feel like nobody's ever excited to draft Cal Seager.
But he's never great. He's predictable. He's solid. He's like a top eight third baseman. He's never great.
Yeah, he's just good. He's going to hit 20 to 25 home runs every year. He's going to drive in 80 runs. He's going to hit 260. And people aren't excited for that. He's kind of like the Jose Quintana of batters.
Yeah.
He's just predictable, solid.
Left-handed.
Great.
And
does Jose Quintana have a little brother who's better?
Maybe Quintana's not pitching today. Is Quintana pitching
But
today?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing is you also like either guys that people don't think of that highly or guys that people might be fed up with. Like Troy Tulowitzki is a good example of the latter.
Yeah, I'm nervous about Tulowitzki and buying, it would have to be really low. Because first of all, I mean, like we've talked about trading Gene Segura for Troy Tulowitzki. It makes total sense. But the thing is with Tulo is like, I don't think there's any chance he gives you like first round production rest of season. And I still think he's going to get hurt because he gets hurt every single year.
Right.
So I don't even know that I would trade Gene Segura for him. Like, I know that while they're healthy, I'm pretty sure Tulo's going to outperform Segura from here on out. But I feel like rest of season, it wouldn't shock me at all if Segura is more effective, a better player.
So you're afraid you won't be able to buy too low?
Yes.
A few other buy low shortstops. That was a really big category for that. Corey Seager, Brandon Crawford, Nats, and Russell are all also buy low candidates that I like at the position.
All right. Let's talk about Russell because I picked up actually Javier Baez, who's about 45% owned in a shallow league in our podcast league, 21 man rosters. I probably will drop him soon.
Yep.
Because he'll be, you know, he's the last player on my team, but I have Addison Russell, and this is almost like Addison Russell insurance because Baez has been really good and Soler's been really bad. So I could see, like, Chris Bryant played left field yesterday. I could see them getting Baez in the lineup more often. It could come at Russell's expense. He could be playing third base more. That whole situation though, like Russell, why is Russell a buy low candidate?
Well, I talked to Al about this yesterday because I was trying to decide what to do with him in my rankings because he's off to such a terrible start. And then you look at his peripherals and his walk rate's the highest it's ever been. His strikeout rate is, I think, the lowest it's ever been. He's got a 254 BABIP.
It's only two seasons.
Okay. If he has a 14% walk rate and a 19% K rate,
yeah,
he's going to have a good year.
Yeah. If you look at the soft, medium, and hard contact, soft contacts down from last season, medium and hard contact are both up. The plate discipline's improved. He's not getting any BABIP luck. He was a 324 BABIP guy last season. I just think he's someone that you can look at where he is right now, the expectations that people had from him coming into the season, and I think he's someone that people are going to be so fed up with that you might be able to steal, and I feel very confident in saying the best days are ahead for Addison Russell.
Go ahead. Sorry.
My only issue with buying low on Addison Russell is I'm not sure, like, maybe you're getting top eight shortstop performance out of him. And I'm not, like, what's giving away a bench part buying low then?
I guess.
Like, if you could trade a bench piece for him, then you're happy with a buy low. But
yeah, or like if I'm weak at shortstop and I have a fifth outfielder who's performing over his head, I could move. Like,
do you think Russell's gonna be better than Eugenio Suarez for the rest of the year?
That one's close. I think he certainly has more upside.
You think Story will be better than him?
I think he'll be better than Story.
Okay.
So any other names? I have some I can throw out at you, but...
Yeah.
You can obviously read Chris's column. Chris, give me one more name that you like. And Heath, you can as well. You're allowed.
There were a couple other options at first base. Jose Abreu would be one. He's another guy that... Kind of like we were talking with Dallas Keuchel, I don't know how he's valued really, so I'm not 100% sure how low you could buy on him, but the fact that he's not hitting for power, but he's starting to hit the ball well lately, makes me think that he's just about to break out, and he's definitely someone I would buy low on.
Jose Abreu.
I'll go with Freddie Freeman.
Okay.
And I think people see how bad this Braves offense is, and it's awful. And see Freeman struggling and just kind of think he's not going to be worth anything at all. And I'm not sure he's going to be a top 10 first baseman. I think he's going to be an elite corner infield position player. He has faced, according to Baseball Prospectus, the 16th most difficult schedule for any hitter in baseball so far this year.
Interesting.
I would expect that's going to get easier.
All right, so here are some of my suggestions. You tell me if you'd buy low on the following players. Prince Fielder.
Man, yes, but I don't feel super great about it.
It's going to have to be really low. I was one of the lower guys on him coming into the year, so I'm more predisposed to believe he's just not going to be as good.
Prince Fielder hit one home run in April last year. And he hit two this year. He hit nine home runs in May and batted .377. But the big difference is he hit .333 last April. He's hitting .208 right now. All right, how about this one? Edwin Encarnacion, .235, .295, .373 slash line, three home runs. But this is what's really interesting for Encarnacion. Nine walks, 26 strikeouts. This guy is usually like almost 1-to-1 walk to strikeout. He doesn't strike out a lot. 26 Ks in 27 games. Edwin Encarnacion, buy low?
Yes.
My only issue with that, and he did walk twice yesterday, so that helps a little bit. I'm not sure that the perception on him is as low as it is on somebody like Votto. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how low I can buy on him.
And I will also add that, as I mentioned, the walk-to-strikeout ratio, Encarnacion had six walks to 20 strikeouts last April. And it, the same exact trend. He was terrible in April with 6 walks, 20 strikeouts. The last 4 months of the season, he had .311. He had an OPS over 1,000. 27 home runs in the last 4 months. So, yeah, I would love to buy low on Edwin Encarnacion. How about Brian Dozier?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about Alex Gordon? I'm just saying, like, deeper league, this guy's batting .205 with .327 on base, which is great, .313 slugging. I mean, he's done nothing, but he's usually about a 20-homer guy. Can get.
I think
some
buying
steals.
Low on Alex Gordon at this point is waiting until somebody drops him.
Yeah, you're not going to drop him in the 16-team league, right? So
no.
In a deep league like that, 5-outfielder league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not going to sell him for somebody I can pick up off waivers, so I don't, like... I think he could be a really nice fourth outfielder.
Right,
he's not getting into the top 36, probably.
Well, I think in an OBP league, he could.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a little format-specific for Alex Gordon. Last guy I have, and then we'll do emails. Matt Carpenter. Now, Matt Carpenter is the number 5 third baseman in points league, so you're getting production there. He has 19 walks, 24 strikeouts. But in Roto, this is a concern with Matt Carpenter. He doesn't steal anybody. He never steals, basically. And he's batting .234, so he's killing you in average. 3 home runs. I think he had 28 last year. Is Matt Carpenter a buy low in rotisserie or category formats?
Yes. He is typically a high BABIP guy, has been for pretty much all of his career. .321 last season, .332 for his career, and he's down to, what, .279 this season, which explains most of the difference in his batting average. He's not hitting for quite as much power, but I don't think that's much of an issue. His hard hit rate is up. I'm not worried about Matt Carpenter. He's absolutely someone I would buy low on.
Would you rather have Rendon or Carpenter?
I believe I have Carpenter higher in points and Rendon higher in Roto.
Gotcha. DFS, any hard hitting advice for the next 30 to 60 seconds? I'll leave the rest.
Well, Jake Arrieta's pitching.
Yeah.
So you got to hope that you can find a bunch of cheap, cheap hitters. I'll probably play more Harvey than Arrieta. If you want some BVP, because I know you're down with that, Stephen Vogt has a .1208 OPS and 26 appearances against Felix. Carlos Santana has a .955 OPS and 62 appearances against Verlander.
Okay.
Alex Rodriguez against Chris Tillman. 6-for-13 with 4 home runs.
I really like A-Rod right now. He's hitting well, and what he does, he always seems to benefit from days off. And they just had a day off yesterday. They had like he had 2 days off earlier in the week. This is just what he does. He's old, and he needs time off. So
now, if you wanted to actually do different types of research and not use BVP, I would guess the Blue Jays, I'm going to keep hammering them until it actually happens. They're facing Martin Perez at home. I know they've not been great against left-handed pitching. I don't believe they're bad against left-handed pitching. I'm going to hammer that. Paul Goldschmidt's down to 4,200 and gets to face a left-handed, not great left-handed pitcher. I'm going to definitely play some Goldschmidt.
4,200, wow, for gold.
Yeah. And then, what do you know about Junior Guerra?
I don't know anything about him.
That's the name of the guy that's starting for the Brewers today. So Mike Trout against a guy that I'm going to venture a guess that nobody on this podcast had heard of before today in Miller Park.
Correct.
is a pretty good idea, probably.
Correctamundo.
He's 31 years old and has a 4.63 ERA in AAA.
Hey, are the Braves going to lose 120 games this year?
I'm hopeful. I've considered, and I haven't done it yet because I was afraid Scott might think it's trolling, and it really has nothing to do with Scott, but I've considered putting up one of those things where you tear off the sheet for the numbers as we count down to 120 losses.
Rachel Phelps style.
I cheer for greatness.
I think you should do something like in Major League.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
But with Scott, and you put a piece of clothes on him every time they lose a game.
Okay.
So he starts like in a bikini, basically.
Yeah.
The thong. Okay.
I'm not going to come into work carrying a cardboard cutout of Scott in a bikini, but I cheer for greatness in all aspects. I wanted to see the Warriors win 73. I want the Braves to lose 121.
Let's go to the emails. Jake and KC says, "Dear Norm, Randy, and Rob."
That's the Nasty Boys.
Yeah. He says, Ross Ohlendorf, basically Jake and KC, I won't go through the whole email, but he says Ross Ohlendorf is the closer for the Reds. He's the guy to own. What do you guys think?
Sure. I mean, I don't think there is a guy to own in the Reds bullpen.
There's a guy you can own, I guess.
Yeah. From Clark, I have Machado and Addison Russell in a categories league with OBP. So now Machado is gaining shortstop eligibility. Who are some third basemen that I could target as buy low candidates?
Kyle Seager. Carpenter.
Kyle Seager. You just wrote about him.
Those would be the two guys.
Here's another one. How about Michael Franco? You believe in him?
I believe in him. Has he been bad?
Yeah, he's been cold. Okay. He's cold.
He's got like a mid-700s OPS.
I don't think anybody's giving up on him at this early if they draft him. Because Michael Franco is not some guy in any draft that I saw that just fell to a certain point and somebody that didn't really care if they got him took him as a value pick.
No.
Michael Franco is somebody that liked him went out and got. Yep. They're not giving up on him yet.
And that person was Heath.
Here's an email from Jeff. I have a problem deciding between dropping Desmond Jennings and Joey Rickard once Danny Valencia comes off the DL this week. Can I get your opinion on who has the higher upside rest of season, Desmond Jennings or Joey Rickard?
Both of them.
It's obviously a deep league.
I would probably drop Jennings. I kind of like Rickard's skill set. I know he hasn't shown a lot of it in the majors so far, but in the minors, he was a guy who avoided strikeouts well and got on base and stole bases, so I like him.
This is from Phil. Something you didn't mention when talking about Juan Nicasio in the last podcast was the 2-click uptick on Nicasio's fastball and 3 clicks on his slider last start. That's an 88-mile-per-hour slider. Apparently, he's going to try to go with an RP mentality right through his starts. Hard to believe that is sustainable, but he's a big dude. Maybe he can pull it off. What do you think about Nicasio's increased velocity?
So we're looking at... I don't know. We did a video on Juan Nicasio yesterday, and I basically said, you know, the fact that he's not going to go deep into games, but that's not necessarily a killer. Like, even if you know he's not going to go deep into games, even if you know he's not going to rack up a ton of innings, like, Scott Kazmir's been valuable in the past like that. Francisco Liriano's valuable like that. Like, it's not necessarily... It doesn't necessarily kill your fantasy value.
I have moved Nicasio in my rankings up to the point to where he could possibly be good, but I haven't accepted the fact that he has. I think we've seen several pitchers go to the bullpen and then come back and say, I'm going to take that reliever mentality with me. And it's not generally ended well.
He's going to be inconsistent this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have some good starts. He's going to have some bad starts. My main problem with him is, and it's not like I acknowledge that he's going to have some great games. I don't know that it's going to be predetermined by the matchup or anything like that. Like, I could see him having a great game where everything's on and he dominates a good team, mm-hmm. and then a game where he walks 6 batters against a terrible team.
Yeah.
Here's an email from Jordan. He says, "Hey, Tim, Kirk, and Steve." Have to look that one up.
Sunday Night Baseball crew?
That's like your go-to answer.
Yeah, I know, Chris. Jeez.
Who's Steve?
I don't know. I don't watch. Who's Kirk? I don't watch a lot of TV.
Who's Kirk?
Nieuwenhuis.
He plays for the Brewers.
Yep.
Very nice. All right, I need your advice on a trade. It's a 10-team head-to-head categories league with 3 outfield slots. Give up Springer and Rendon. Get Archer and Odor.
No.
It's just a buy low all over the place.
Give up Springer and Rendon for Archer and Odor.
I don't think I'd do it.
Yeah, that's tough. I probably wouldn't.
Here's one from Colin. Grade the trade 12-team head-to-head. Give up Garrett Cole and Will Myers. Giving up Garrett Cole and Will Myers. Getting Corey Kluber and Luke Gregerson.
I would do that.
Yep.
Okay.
B plus.
Okay. B plus. Dave in Tucson. Dear Lily, Rosemary, and the Jack of Hearts.
Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah, it's Sunday Night Baseball crew. I'm in a 12-team head-to-head categories league, first year of keepers. Would you drop underperformers like Wainwright and Gomez for young players like Snell, Giolito, Minaya, and Turner?
Not Gomez for sure. I'm getting to the point to where I'm kind of okay with dropping Wayne. I mean,
in a keeper league, I have no problem dropping Wainwright for Snell, Giolito, or Minaya. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
I'm not really that against it because here's the issue. When are you going to feel good starting Adam Wainwright?
You're not.
So you just feel really comfortable with him on your bench?
Yeah. that's the thing is that he I'm not starting him. So at that point, I'd rather have the upside guys.
Those guys need to be owned in keeper leagues. And,
yeah, for sure.
And Dave, by the way, Lily Rosemary and the Jack of Hearts is a Bob Dylan song. Chris, I thought you knew about music.
I probably should have known that, yeah.
Yeah.
But Bob Dylan's got a lot of words. You can't just throw out Bob Dylan references and expect
everyone
to get
them.
No,
I think it's the name of a song. It's not like a lyric.
He's only got about 400 of those.
Yeah.
Okay, it's still, I mean...
What album is it from?
It is from...
The Best of Bob Dylan.
Yeah, Blood on the Tracks.
Volume 30.
Blood on the Tracks, 1975.
I should have known that one, yeah. That's embarrassing.
I just want to end it with Dave saying that Adam should stop trying to get into fights with Heath.
Oh, we had one more really good email that was informative.
That is...
What was it about?
It is definitely Adam's fault.
Yeah.
I think that's the takeaway there, right? That's what you were going with?
Yeah, must be it.
It's definitely Adam's fault that Heath keeps fighting with him?
I thought the starting pitcher one right below that in the notes was...
It's not
was
at
a
all.
Good question.
No, it is a good question, Heath, but we're at it over an hour. So
okay.
I'll save it for tomorrow.
Heath just saw his name in an email and was like, please read it, please read it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you on the show tomorrow, Heath?
Nope.
All right, I'll save it for Thursday then. Put it
by
in
then
Thursday
it won't
notes.
Even matter.
Probably not.
That,
no, it will.
It still will.
Yeah, it will. Okay, thanks, guys. Good show. Great stuff. Way to go. Make it happen. Listen.
See ya.
Is this burning an eternal flame?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know that one very well.
Yeah, it's a great song. See you later, everybody.